The Maria Sanchez Show, a conversation, not a confrontation. On MariaSanchezShow.com.
Hi, this is Maria Sanchez, and welcome to The Maria Sanchez Show. Thank you so much for joining us. We have Fabienne Frederickson with us. She has released a book, Embrace Your Magnificence. Get out of your own way and live a richer, fuller, more abundant life. Bring it on, sister. Fabienne, welcome to the program.
Thanks. I'm so happy to be here.
So you're a best-selling author, mentor, international speaker, and founder of Client Attraction Business School. Mm-hmm. Will you share with us what that is, and then we'll get into a little bit more of your message, please?
Sure. The Client Attraction Business School is something I founded. Well, it started as a business coaching practice 15 years ago. And now we are an online business school that also meets in person. And we teach entrepreneurs how to get more clients, make more money, and multiply their business. And we have students in 26 countries and several hundred students. And it's the what I consider to be the world's biggest business school for entrepreneurs of this type. And you can find out more at clientattractionbusinessschool.com.
How is it that you can help people make more money, get more clients, and make more business?
Okay.
Is your approach different than your traditional, say, MBA program?
Yes, vastly different. In fact, that's why we've created the Client Attraction Business School for entrepreneurs. What gets taught in a regular MBA program isn't the curriculum that we need when we have a private practice, when we are a solo entrepreneur. Vastly different. So we have a curriculum, for example, the growth track is for those who are getting started in business. And they're in the first 2 to 3 years of, you know, ramping up, and they need curriculum specific to, I need to get out there, I need to get some clients, I need to close some sales, I need to make some money. And then once you reach your, and you need some coaching, and you need some daily accountability, and only stuff that works. And then once you reach about $100,000 in your business, you have a new set of problems, and it's about leveraging, because at this point in your business, you have plenty of clients, but you don't have any more of you to go around. No more of you and no more time. So in the leverage track, we look to clone you through the right team, systems, technology, automation, scalable business models, your intellectual property, etc. And that's when you can make so much more money than you ever would if it was just you doing one-to-one business. So that's the curriculum for both tracks of the business school is targeted to exactly what the entrepreneur needs at their current level of business to get to the next level.
Now, how does it differ between men and women in that approach?
Well, one of the things that we say about the Client Attraction Business School, or CABS for short, is that this isn't your father's business school. And we attract people who are here to make a difference in the world, who understand that marketing the old way with, for example, beating people over the head with a 2x4 until they give us money is not the way that feels good for us. So it's actually, Maria, about doing business with authenticity, integrity, and dare I say it, love, in the sense that we teach marketing that feels good to do and that feels good to receive from the prospect's point of view. So they feel significant, they feel cherished, and they don't feel like you're marketing to grab the money from their wallet, but more positioning. When you market the CABS way, you position yourself as the solution that they've always wanted. So it's a great, it feels good all around from the prospect's point of view and the entrepreneur's point of view.
And oftentimes I know in the traditional sense, that doesn't sound like the quintessential business plan, because usually it's someone gains and someone loses. Mm-hmm. And well, your message is one of hope, and one that I like to promote, which is win-win-win, that we should all be better off for our encounters, our exchanges, our relationships, however that works out, both business, you know, professionally and personally. But that's, like in this dog eat dog world that we were raised in, perhaps, usually it's somebody wins and somebody loses. So your message is one of hope. And does like that must take some wooing that, like you said, that your client that you're attracting should benefit from it and should feel good about the encounter.
Yes, the way we approach marketing and client attraction in cabs is that we actually see the thousands, if not hundreds of thousands, of potential clients that are out there as people, real people with real personalities, with real problems, problems that we can solve. And we believe that it's not their job to find us. But just knowing that there are some people at 3 o'clock in the morning last night who tossed and turned because they have a problem that, for example, we can solve, it is our job to get ourselves out there in a big enough way through marketing, through speaking, through networking, through stay-in-touch marketing vehicles, online and offline, so and to market in an authentic way so that they see us and they say, "Oh my gosh, where have you been? I need you." And where the sale almost comes from them, because you create a marketing message that really speaks to them, to who they are, to what their issues tend to be, and what they need most right now. And it's, you're marketing to the solution as the most as opposed to marketing yourself. And as you probably know, people love to buy, but they don't love to be sold. So when you market in a way that people love to buy, they buy.
And your message with the book that you have just released, Embrace Your Magnificent, is focused towards women.
Yes.
And why did you distinguish?
It really didn't come from me at first. I was inspired to write a love letter to my daughter Claire, who is now 11. And really thinking back over the course of my life, and comparatively speaking, I've had a better life than some, but I would have chosen, if given the option, to have some things happen differently. And I wanted to, because she's wired very much like I am, she's sensitive, intuitive, creative, and things like that. I wanted to have her avoid a lot of the, I don't know if I call it drama, but a lot of the things that I didn't enjoy so much about my life, had I been equipped with a series of best practices, I would have been able to handle my life differently. And so I sat down at first to just teach her everything in one place, that where she could, better navigate her lifetime. And what I kept hearing, the more I shared it with some of our students of the business school and some of our clients and friends, they said, "You have to take these lessons and these experiences and make them available to every woman in the world." And so at first, I thought, "Well, this is crazy. Nobody wants to hear this. This is just meant for Claire." And it's really taken off. Thousands of people have read it up at this point. The reviews, I mean, just look at the reviews alone on Amazon. They're virtually all fives, and people are saying that their lives have been changed already as a result of reading Embrace Your Magnificence. So I never expected it to be like this, but it's clear that this is a word of mouth phenomenon already, which is pretty humbling for me.
Well, congratulations and thank you, because it's obviously something that we needed. And what do you think it is about the feminine experience that might make us feel inadequate or that we aren't deserving of the abundance?
I'm not an authority on this, but I have worked with thousands of people each year, and the majority of our students are women. I would say about 80% of the students of the business school are women. So I spend a lot of time with women, and what I see is that when presented with an opportunity to play a bigger game in their life, to play a bigger game in their business, to really increase their quality of life, I've been noticing that many get in their own way. They self-sabotage. They don't do, I'm not saying all, but my experience has been that I've seen them not fully feel that they are good enough, that they know enough. And it's become for me this filter through which I see a lot of why women are sometimes not as successful as men. And then I want to tell you something that happened in my kitchen one day. And it really kind of sealed the whole thing for me. And it was, I have a daughter, as you know, and two sons. And I had, because I thought it was cute a few years ago, bought all these plastic cups and plates and knives and forks in pink and then also in blue. And what I noticed is, you know, I've got three kids, so I'm rushed a lot of the time. Sometimes I'll just grab whatever color and I'll put it on the table and serve. And one day I noticed that I put a blue plate in front of my daughter and a pink plate in front of my son. And my daughter had no problem, but my son said, "Mom, can I have a blue plate?" And I said, "It doesn't matter. It's just a plate. Like, let's eat. It's time for dinner." And he said, "Mom, I'm not eating from a pink plate." But she didn't say, "Mom, I'm not eating from a blue plate." Mm-hmm. And what I realized in that moment, and it was like my heart sank to my stomach, is that, you know, and I didn't raise my son this way, but I noticed that there is a, there is something, how do you have, perhaps you'll help me phrase this. There is something inadequate in the eyes of society in being a woman. Now, it may be subtle and under the surface and nobody talks about it, but you will, you know, not likely a lot of men would eat from a pink plate and they wouldn't talk about it, and some might, but there is something under the surface in our collective consciousness that says that somehow women in the past, and I'm hoping it doesn't keep going, but there's been something less than about being a woman. And so seeing from this point of view, I have seen differences and I have seen a greater lack of self-esteem with women than I do with men. Of course, self-esteem affects everyone, plenty of men as well, but it seems to be more rampant and insidious in the female community.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, I mean, I know it's not really appropriate to make broad generalizations, but women tend to nurture and to be caretakers, and often we put ourselves last.
Yes.
And it's, I remember when I started, one of my adages became, "It's about me too." Mm-hmm. Just putting myself into the equation felt selfish. And then I thought, well, wait a second, if, you know, because they say if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy, yeah. And, you know, that sort of thing. And it's actually starts to feel good, like I matter, and I'm important, and I am a priority. And it used to feel like that was not okay.
Yes, like it was an act of selfishness.
Exactly.
And that's what Embrace Your Magnificence is about. That is about seeing that no matter whether it's male or female or just two females or two males, because a lot of men actually read this, ironically, you take any two human beings and the whole first chapter is about valuing, honoring, and loving yourself, really embracing the fact that you are all that and then some. And that because you were born a certain way, perhaps you look a certain way, perhaps you have a certain intelligence or whatever it is about you, does not make you less than anyone else on the planet. And I'll tell you, Maria, the tape that was going on, I'm 43, I'll be 44 really soon. And the tape that went on for close to 35 years in my head was, what's wrong with you, Fabienne? What's wrong with you? And I can go back now over a, I'm a very successful business owner now, et cetera, et cetera. I have a beautiful husband, beautiful family, et cetera, et cetera. But if you go back throughout my life, I can pinpoint many, many different moments in time where I created a meaning, a belief about myself that I was less than, that I was not good enough, that I didn't deserve. And so I had the abusive relationships. I had, I did and said things that I consider shameful. Nothing illegal, any weird, stuff like that, but things that I would go over now and say, if I had had more, if I had loved and valued and honored myself more, I wouldn't have gotten myself into those situations. So this book is a collection of 72 experiences and lessons that, by taking personal responsibility in my life over the course of, the last 20, 30 years, I was able to right the wrongs and to become the person that I believe I have the potential to be. And there's more, there's always more work to be done and new things to achieve. But what I've learned is that in sharing even one or two of these experiences and the lessons that I learned from them, it is somehow shifting other people's experiences too. And when they consume the whole thing, I mean, I had a woman just today on Facebook say, I bought your book the moment it came out. And then I actually bought several copies for my friends and my mom. And that even though I don't know you, you have changed my life. And so it's about really like valuing yourself and embracing who you are as a person, and that no one else is better than you, and you are not better than anyone else, and you deserve all of life's abundance. You deserve to live a richer, fuller, more abundant life.
What a gorgeous message that is. That's just beautiful. And I love the word magnificence. It's not something that we hear very often. So to talk about, to celebrate us for who we are, as unique as we all are, and having our own journeys and whatever. What I like about your message too, Fabienne, is that it doesn't matter what we've done, it matters what we do now.
Yes. Oh, I just got chills when you said that. It's one of the concepts that I share, Maria, is the concept of sharing your brownies. And I talk about this and by painting an imaginary scenario. And I want you to imagine that you're in your kitchen and you have friends, you're entertaining friends and family, and they're in the other room and you are baking some brownies. And if you're a baker,
I am.
okay, so you know that about 3 to 5 minutes before the brownies are ready to come out of the oven, this aroma of chocolate hits the air. And I mean, just everyone can smell it. So you imagine that somebody comes in from the living room and says, "What are you doing in there? It smells awesome." And imagine that your response is, "Never mind, this is none of your business. Get out of here," right? I believe that the not sharing your brownies with your friends and family is stingy, greedy, and all that. But imagine that instead of taking your brownies out to the living room and sharing them, you turn around, you go in the other direction, you sit down, and you eat all of the brownies by yourself without sharing them. That makes you stingy and greedy and lots of other things. But I equate it to we were I equate it to the fact that I believe it is my belief system that each of us was brought here with certain skills, certain talents, certain unique abilities and inclinations and ways that we are wired that make us unique. And then we were also given a life purpose, that's my belief system, right? And some experiences. And some were great. And if you're anything like me, some of my experiences, and I talk about many of them in the book in a very candid way, were not so fantastic. But I believe that all of these skills, talents, abilities, purpose, inclinations, experiences, both good and bad, if you will, make up who we are today. Mm-hmm. And I believe that there has never been anyone like you. There is no one like you right now, and there will never be anyone like you. And that we must, whatever it is that we do, either through our work or outside of our work, take all these things, and we must share them, right? So I call it like sharing your brownies. Share who you are and what you've learned in a bigger way. And it might just be compassion, sharing compassion, or sharing a message. But really, instead of hiding with all of the accumulation of good things that have happened, learnings, whatever it is, it is our, I'm going to call it divine duty and almost more obligation to, as Oprah says, when you know better, you do better. And so that whole concept of sharing your brownies is a really big one in the community that I've created where, you know, we've been giving these gifts. It's not to hoard. Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's probably the best way you could share that, because if you keep it to yourself, in fact, I have on my wall a little caricature, and it says, sometimes she flew when she knew no one was looking.
Mm.
And it's like, yeah, but then, what's the point? We're supposed to share. So well said in that regard, Fabienne. And so with 72 essays, I would imagine that you can pick it up and put it down so that you don't, it's not a huge investment if someone doesn't have the time in this fast paced world of ours.
Yeah, it's actually very easy to consume. And people have said, if you read the reviews on Amazon, people have said that they can read this in a day, some in an afternoon, some in a weekend. It's if you remember, it was written not to be complex so that even an 11-year-old could read it. In fact, Claire and all of her friends in the fifth grade were reading it at the same time.
Wow.
And you know, I had to warn her that there's, you know, a B word in there, and there's probably an S word in there and something like that. But in context, you know, of things that were said by other people and things like that. But the idea is that it's a simple book to read, but the concepts are, I'd like to think from the response, are profound. And I think what one enjoys, this has been the feedback, is that it's not just, bah, 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 this is what you should do. It's mm-hmm. me pulling the veil, opening the kimono, and really showing people through my very specific experience of, you know, the things that most people don't talk about, and showing them what the situation was and what happened and how did I take that learning to become a better person as a result. It's that level of transparency that kept them gripped to the book and having them not being able to put it down. So even though it's easy to put down, many people just finish it in a weekend.
Well, I've been noticing that throughout our conversation, how humbling it is that you talk about your struggles, and not everybody has the courage to do that. And also, you know, it's like people say, you know, don't do what I do what I say. Mm-hmm. And you're saying, no, I've been in the trenches.
Yeah.
I've made my fair share of mistakes. And then the irony, too, is that the human condition is such that we only learn from failure.
Yeah.
So you wrap that all up and you've got to embrace your magnificence, which is, and get out of your own way. I always say that, you know, if God has a plan, so if we would just get out of our way and let it unfold,
yeah.
we'd be a lot better off.
And in fact, some of the later chapters are about realizing that your life's purpose is so much bigger than you think, and your potential is so much bigger than you think, because as you just said, right, that God has a purpose, but also God of the universe, or whatever our listeners are call it, the creator created us. So if we are a child of God, we are the apple from the tree, and the apple does not fall far from the tree. So if your creator is magnificent, then by virtue of being a child of your creator, you are magnificent as well. And when we are authentic and transparent, the more we are authentic and transparent, and I like to call it, many people walk their talk, but I refuse to walk my talk. I like to talk my walk. And what I mean by that is I want to walk it first. And once I've mastered it, then I teach it, as opposed to the people who are teaching the things that they're not actually doing. Mm-hmm. And this is why in this book I'm able to be so transparent, sometimes raw honest, about something that people would normally never ever talk about. It's because I've learned the lesson already, so I'm there's no more shame around it. Mm-hmm. And the feedback has been that it's really refreshing. Like, oh my God, you were really honest, and I was able to learn because you were honest.
Well, and shame, I mean, I'm a great one to flog myself and beat myself up and
sure.
You know, whatever. And then it's like, and so who's that benefiting exactly? Not only do you feel worse about yourself, but where is it getting you?
Yeah. In fact, I taught one of the lessons in the book is about how my shame was so deeply ingrained. I mean, everything I'd said, everything I'd done, maybe even at some points, even like everything I was and everything I wasn't, there was so much shame around it that one day I actually sat down and wrote everything that I was ashamed of about myself, what I'd said, what I'd done. And I talk about this process of releasing every line on the sheet, and how it was so cathartic. And it's all explained in there. In fact, it's an assignment for people to do the same. But to go through the process that's laid out in the pages releases you from the white knuckle grip that shame has on you. And I'll tell you from experience, you become a different person when you don't carry that ball and chain of shame. And mm-hmm. It's just like, ah, oh, the window is open and you can breathe again.
I read an interview recently with Chelsea Handler, the entertainer,
yes.
I guess it was about a book that she had just published, and she talked about she had an abortion and she got drunk driving and she this and that. And she said, I finally decided, what the hell? It's my life. It's what I did. It's who I am. It's the mistakes I made. Oh, well. And I thought, my goodness, how refreshing is that?
Yeah.
And yours is similar. It's like, yeah, get over it.
Yeah.
Move on.
Well, you'll find that. So this is the irony, is that most people don't talk about their shame because they're afraid that people will reject them. Mm-hmm. My experience has been the opposite. And I'll give a caveat to this after I talk about it. But my experience has been that the more you open the kimono, the more you lift the wall of, oh no, everything's fine, I'm perfect, and you actually let people in, the two things happen. One, you invite more love into your life because people have more compassion. And number two is you give people, by virtue of being more transparent and more forgiving of yourself and your experiences, you give people permission to forgive themselves and to not put up such big walls. And that's been my experience. Now, one of the things that I don't recommend is that you all of a sudden air all your dirty laundry, and someone will probably think you've lost your marbles. I did it little by little. Yes, it might seem like I wrote a book and I put everything in there, but it took me some time. You know, if you think I have several hundred students each year in the business school, little by little, I unveiled one thing and I revealed another. And in strengthening that muscle, I got confidence to the point where I can write a book, put it all in there, and know that I'm okay with who I am. In fact, I actually really like myself, and because of it, and I actually honor and value and love myself, warts and all. And it took me a while to get there. So my advice is to, if you want to be more transparent, if you want to heal some of the shame, it's okay to do it little by little.
As long as you endeavor to make some gains, I guess.
Yeah. The idea is to open up the closet, shine some light inside, mm-hmm. and clear out some of the cobwebs. And then it's infinitely more livable, to be in your body.
Right. Right. And also that burden is released.
Yeah.
As you said.
So I do a 3-day event. It's called the Mindset Retreat, mindsetretreat.com. It happens in late September this year in Fort Lauderdale. And I've been doing it for 6 years. Hundreds of people come. And it's where over a period of 3 days, the first day, we dream a bigger dream. And we stretch the vision that you have of yourself and your potential and what you're here to do. On the second day, it's about clearing the gunk and sludge and doing some of this work that you and I are talking about. Some of it is serious, like, you know, we're not going to necessarily do the shame exercise in the room. We do a tiny bit of it, but we look at the fears and we look at the beliefs and we look at the resentments and the judgments, self to self and others. And on the third day, it's about acting with faith and really playing a bigger game. And that process, the process of upgrading your mindset, changes everyone that's in the room permanently. It's a lasting transformation where you're lighter. You don't have hangups. And you say yes. You don't get in your own way anymore. And it's a transformative process, absolutely transformative.
So, Fabienne, is your book readily available?
It's available on Amazon. It's available on hayhouse.com. And I believe it's going to be in store soon, but guaranteed on Amazon and Hay House.
Well, continued success. Thank you so much for making this a win-win-win for all of us and for making a business out of making us better people.
Thank you.
Also, and we'll put all your contact information when we post this, and I appreciate you taking the time. Thank you so very much, Fabienne.
Thank you.
It's been an honor. And this is Maria Sanchez thanking you for making us a part of your day and hoping you're helping to make this world a better place.
Talking, so call Maria, her show is killer. You won't believe it, darling, there's long time listeners and first time callers. They love Maria, that's why they keep saying, and we're gonna get loud, but we're gonna get close. She's here and she's going strong. Sanchez.